KOIN in Portland. It's 11 o'clock. CBS News is next.
CBS News. Communist forces have captured another major South Vietnamese city on the central coast and are feared heading toward the last big coastal city held by government troops. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Early Tuesday, communist soldiers took the city of Quy Nhon and are now believed headed for Nha Trang, the last major city on the coast north of Saigon known to be in government hands. The fear in Washington now is for Saigon itself, as we hear in a report from Ike Pappas at the Pentagon.
Defense Secretary Schlesinger called the situation in South Vietnam grim, and he warned that unless panicky South Vietnamese troops can be rallied to form a defense line in the south, Saigon itself may fall. Schlesinger gave this assessment of the current military situation.
Da Nang is now gone, and undoubtedly there will be further withdrawals in MR2. The government must stabilize a defensive line that incorporates at least Saigon and the Delta. And undoubtedly the morale of the remaining forces has been adversely affected. But I would hope that the government is able to stabilize such a line.
Schlesinger said fleeing South Vietnamese soldiers left behind at least $650 million worth of U.S. military equipment, a figure that could go to $1 billion, he said, when the final accounting is made. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Washington.
Cambodia's President Lon Nol is about to leave his country for Indonesia and the United States. Three helicopters are now standing by in Phnom Penh for the ailing president and his party, which is said to include family and leading political figures. Lon Nol's departure is aimed at appeasing Khmer Rouge insurgents and getting them to begin peace talks with the government. More in a minute.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's new hemorrhoid ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Vaseline Hemorrhoid. It's new. Use only as directed.
I'm Lee Jordan, inviting you to a wonderful weekend inside the movies, 1975. Actress Jenna Rollins tells us why she enjoyed her strenuous role in A Woman Under the Influence.
An actor prays for a hard, difficult, exhausting part. That's our peculiarities. That is what does make us happy.
Just one view of the movies, 1975. 30 broadcasts April 5th and 6th on the CBS Radio Network.
Shooting broke out Monday night along the so-called Green Line that separates Greek and Turkish Cypriot sections of Nicosia, Cyprus. There were no casualties reported. One report has it that the shooting began after Greek Cypriot soldiers fired in the air to celebrate the anniversary of an anti-British guerrilla campaign back in 1955. The Turkish Cypriots apparently misunderstood the reason for the shooting and also began firing. Workers in Rio are trying to clean up an oil spill that is fouling the city harbor. Henry Johnson has a report.
A small launch with two pitiful hoses is spraying detergents on thousands of tons of crude oil, spreading over the waters of Rio de Janeiro's beautiful Guanabara Bay. The oil came from a big Iraq tanker, which scraped its bow on the bottom of the bay and sprang a leak. The oil spread to the beaches of Governor's Island and caught fire twice, damaging power and telephone lines. More fires are threatened as the oil creeps along the docks and anchored ships. Famous Copacabana and Ipanema beaches are black with the gooey stuff. Fish are dying and fishermen are desperate. A scientist warns that the detergents may create more pollution than the oil. This is Henry Johnston for CBS News in Rio de Janeiro.
Democratic Congressman Les Aspin revealed Monday night that the government is investigating possible overcharges to customers by Gulf Oil. The Federal Energy Administration confirms its investigation, and Gulf says it's still discussing the matter with the agency. Somewhere between $40 million and $100 million reportedly is involved in the overcharge. Now this.
Hi, this is Phyllis Diller. You know, I love being funny, because it's a way to spread a little joy and happiness. Right now, I'd like to tell you how you can spread a little joy and happiness. and more than that, help some very special people. I'm speaking of our country's 6 million mentally retarded children and adults. Like all of us, mentally retarded people need love and affection and understanding and patience. They also need a special kind of help that will enable them to develop to their fullest. It's a big job for the people who are trying to provide help to the mentally retarded. And that's where you come in. Please lend a helping hand. I'll tell you how. Join and support the work of your local association of the National Association for Retarded Citizens. So come on, give them a hand. Make a contribution to your local association. It'll give you a nice, warm, thankful glow.
At a time when the Ford Foundation and other funding agencies are cutting their academic grants because of financial problems, the Rockefeller Foundation is awarding 34 new fellowships. They will be used to explore values in modern society. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
The Senate Environment Committee today approved a bill that would create a State Department of Energy to supervise the presently scattered energy-related functions of state government. The bill now goes to the Joint Ways and Means Committee. Senator Jack Ripper, a member of the Environment Committee and co-chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, predicted favorable action by the Budget-Making Committee. The new department would require about $1 million in funding. The bill has been under study by the committee for several weeks. Its progress was almost halted permanently last week when differences developed over the role of an advisory committee. But the matter was settled to allow the Senate President or House Speaker to serve on the advisory committee. The earlier plan would have prohibited them from serving on the committee, but they would have had appointed one member each. A three-member fact-finding committee has recommended that members of the Oregon State Employees Association be given salary increases averaging 27%. The OSEA has asked for a 35% pay increase, and the state has offered 23%. The committee's recommendations are published in an OSEA newsletter due to be released on Thursday. U.S. Senator Bob Packwood said in Medford today that it is not significant that he missed the Senate votes on the tax cut bill. The Oregon senator was at a Republican fundraising event in Minneapolis on March 21st when 21 recorded votes were taken on the bill and various amendments. He was with his family at Disney World in Florida when the final vote was taken March 26th. The weather for the Portland metropolitan area will be partly cloudy tonight and Tuesday, mostly cloudy with increasing chance of rain Tuesday night, changing to showers Wednesday, a little cooler tonight with the low near freezing, highs 50 to 55 degrees, low Tuesday night near 40, winds northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour tonight, chance of any measurable rain at 10% tonight and Tuesday, 80% Tuesday night. Right now in downtown Portland, it's 40 degrees. That's KOIN News at 11:08. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. The setting on your dial is the passport to a shadow land of mystery and terror. And you can travel as far and as long as your imagination will permit. In ancient times, evil was usually the work of people who were monstrous, grotesque, and psychotic. Today's perpetrators, for the most part, are quite banal. Many of them lead what can only be described as normal lives. Some of them have achieved such heights of respectability that their deeds are no longer considered evil. Oh, for the good old days when villains were villains and performed with style and flair. Today's faceless scoundrels don't even get any fun out of their own evil.
What a charming lady.
Hmm?
Where, Harry? Near the window. She's beautiful. Certainly is. Introduce me. Huh. I'd rather not.
Why?
Well, you're a married man.
What's that have to do with anything?
You'll have an affair with her.
What?
You're crazy. I love my wife. I haven't thought about another woman in 15 years.
years.
I'm sure you haven't.
I'll introduce myself.
Harry.
Please. I have a feeling. I have a feeling that this woman is going to kill you.
Are you sure you're all right?
I know it sounds crazy. But please. Keep away from her. She'll kill you.
Our mystery drama, Killer of the Year, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Norman Rose. It is sponsored in part by Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice and imported Vigna Rosé wine. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
You're driving a car you knew you were going to buy the minute you saw it. Skyhawk. Buick Skyhawk. You just knew a car this streamlined would be easy on gas, and you were right. In published EPA mileage test results, Skyhawk got 25 miles per gallon on the open road and 16 in the city. Skyhawk. It's rakish, it's low slung, it looks European, but it's a Buick.
Living free.
Last month, I noticed my oldest boy. He seemed so much older. I spent a lot of time away from home, but boy, that was a shock. He's growing up without me. I figured if I was going to have any influence in his life at all, I'd better start now. So I set aside one night a week. And each week I take a different child and we go and do whatever they want. And you know, it's amazing what it's done for the kids. And me.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The Mormons. Some people think we play ping pong all day. They're wrong. The USO isn't all fun and games. Today, the USO has millions of problems like this one in Germany.
My family's going crazy living in a tiny apartment. Where can we live?
Today's USO has millions of problems like this one in Asia.
I'm hooked on drugs. Where can I get help?
Or this problem in Athens.
Our marriage is breaking up. Can you help us?
Today's USO has little time for ping pong. We've got serious work to do. We've got lots of new problems here and overseas. The problems are big. How big? Well, if someone asks you, who needs the USO? Tell them,
we do! We do!
Over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. And because we get no government funds, we need all your support. Please give to USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
Evil. What's evil? Since the beginning of the human race, men have speculated on the nature of evil. Saints, philosophers, psychologists, all have deliberated, and still, the answer eludes us. In this enlightened century, will science finally solve the problem? Shall we discover that evil is actually a virus, a disease that infects its victims at random? Impossible, you say? Perhaps. But how do you account for the fact that so many people are suddenly stricken? So many of the most unlikely people. People like Harry Johnson.
Turn around, Harry. Let me look at you. Oh, no, dear. The gold cufflinks.
That's too formal.
Well, it's a formal occasion.
All right. Who rang the bell before?
Oh, it was a telegram. The president of your own company, Mr. G.G. Gresham himself. Well, what do you think of that?
I don't know. What am I supposed to think of it?
Well, don't you even want to read it?
Oh, you read it.
Oh, all right. Congratulations. You are a credit to the corporation. Signed, G.G. Gresham. Oh! Well?
Well, what?
Do you realize what this means? Mr. Gresham himself, all the way out in Chicago. Mr. Gresham, who personally runs a half-billion-dollar corporation, knows about you. knows about the award and is personal.
Mr. Gresham has a PR department which handles this kind of nonsense.
Oh, why do you call it nonsense?
Because he couldn't care less.
I beg to differ, Harry, when one of his executives...
To him, I'm an employee.
...wins the Man of the Year award.
In a tank town like Danvers Corners.
This happens to be the county seat and is the third largest city in the state.
Hey, let's hear it for Danvers Corners.
Oh, don't pretend to be cynical, Harry, because you're not.
My dear, I never set out to win this award. I mean... But it wasn't deliberate. I didn't plan it. It wasn't part of a campaign to do myself some good.
Well, it's recognition of the fact
I'm
that
not
you...
after recognition. I like to work on community projects. I think it's the best investment of time I can make.
Darling, when you took me home from our very first date, Mother came upstairs to my room for a chat.
That was another world in those days, wasn't it?
Oh, it certainly was. And Mother said, "Tell me all about him, dear." And I did. And she said, "You know, he sounds too good to be true." And Harry, she was right. And she still is. You are too good to be true.
Oh, come on. I'm the same as everyone else.
No, dear, you're not like everyone else. You have a conscience and you have ideals. And those things are in short supply today.
Yeah. You know, Jenny, I think I have a headache.
A headache? Why should you have a headache all of a sudden?
I think my halo is on too tight.
Oh.
Come on, we'll be late for the bash.
Hey, Man of the Year, buddy. This is the first chance I've had to offer my congratulations.
Thank you, Pete.
Great dinner. Great speech. Listen, why don't you run for Congress?
Now, why should I run for Congress?
Why else have you been knocking yourself out 3 and 4 nights a week?
Because I like it.
You mean it's all going to waste? It's not going to wind up doing you any good?
Well, it makes me feel good.
You know, coming from anyone else, it would sound like a line, but you, I believe.
Hello, Pete.
Jenny, congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Pete. Harry, have you met Wilma Sloan?
Wilma Sloan? No, I don't think so.
Oh, are you in for a treat? Although...
Although what?
You're so thoroughly married, you probably couldn't enjoy the sight of another beautiful woman.
I'll introduce you, dear.
Confident Jenny. Who is she?
Well, she's the new librarian. And she'll be very happy to meet you.
Oh, why?
Well, she can thank you for her job. After all, dear, you're the one who raised the funds for the library campaign.
Come on, you make it sound as if I did it single-handed.
Wilma, I'd like you to meet my husband, Harry Johnson. How do you do?
Wilma Sloan? No, that isn't your name. You're not Wilma Sloan. I know you. That is... Well, I know your face. How could I ever forget your face? I stared at it for hours in that courtroom. I know your face from every angle. There were times when your eyes would wander among the rows of spectators. And sometimes they would meet mine. And we would look at each other for a brief moment. Do you... recognize me? Do you know my face? How long was it? 5 years ago. The company had sent me way, way up and out to the Northwest, to a place called Centerville. Centerville. It makes Danvers Corners seem like Paris. Centerville.
Gotta be with us a spell, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, 10 days, 2 weeks, I suppose.
You from the Gresham Company?
Yes, I have to run some sales training sessions. But they'll be at night. Tell me, what's there to do around here in the daytime?
Well, to tell the truth, there ain't nothing to do around here daytimes outside of hunting season. But you're in luck.
Why?
We got us a murder trial going.
A murder trial?
Yep. Been in all the papers. Well, the papers around here, I guess.
Where's the trial being held?
Why, in the courthouse. Where else? I'm fixing to go myself. I'll get the wife to take over the front desk. I'll drive you down there. That's her.
She? She's the defendant?
That's her. Tessie Bonner. She works in the library. Maybe I should say she worked in the library.
Well, she's a very beautiful woman.
Yep. She's good-looking, but she's a killer.
Isn't that what the jury's supposed to decide?
Hey, the jury's already decided. I know every one of them in that box. I can tell.
But that's not right.
You just listen to the testimony. You'll see. It'll prove she's guilty beyond the shadow of a doubt.
State your
full name, please?
Mrs. Edna Coyne. Well, I guess my full name would be Edna Amaryllis Coyne.
Mm-hmm. And you rented an apartment to the defendant, Miss Teresa Bonner?
Yes, sir. A 3-year lease.
And the deceased, was he a regular visitor?
Oh, yes, indeed. He'd show up there 2, 3, sometimes 4 times a week. I said to my oldest girl, looks like we have a little love nest up there in 3G. And she said, oh, Ma, get with it. This is the new morality. I mean, so what do you prove if you have a document? Well, I was going to tell her...
Did you ever hear signs of an altercation?
A what?
Arguments. Fight.
Oh, no, no, I can't say that I did. I didn't hear a word until that night.
Now then, suppose you tell us just exactly what you heard.
Well, I was surprised.
Surprised? Why?
Well, you know, they was very quiet, usually. And all of a sudden, on this particular night, they start yelling at each other.
Yelling?
Well, maybe not yelling, but you could hear them all right. And he was saying, it's over. It has come to an end. And she kept saying, no, it's not over. It's just begun. She said, I can't. I won't let you walk out on me. And he said, we both knew it would have to end sometime. And she said, it can only end when one of us is dead. And he said, don't be stupid. And she said, I won't let you go. I can't let you go. And he said, you knew from the start I was married. And she said, yes, and so did you. And...
Yes, Miss Coyne?
Well, she said, if I can't have you... she can't have you either.
And what did he say to that?
He said, be sensible. And she said, how can a woman in love be sensible? And then the next thing I heard him say was, you're crazy. You've gone mad. Put down that knife.
You heard him say those exact words. Put down that knife.
Yes, sir.
And then what happened?
And then I heard him yell.
And then?
And then I didn't hear anything. Well, I was scared, you know. I didn't know what to think.
What did you do?
Well, I thought for a minute. Then I walked up the stairs and I went to her door.
Mm, yes.
And I just stood there listening. Finally, I knocked on the door and I said, Miss Bonner... Miss Bonner, are you okay? There was no answer. Well, I tried to turn the handle, and the door wasn't locked. So I opened it, and I walked right into the apartment. And there I saw...
Would you tell us what you saw?
I saw him lying on the floor. He was dead.
You sure he was dead?
Oh, yes. His chest was covered with blood.
And where was the defendant?
She was standing there near him, right in the middle of the room. And she was holding a big knife in her hand. And you could see blood on the blade.
Would that be that large knife lying on the table marked Exhibit B?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, that's the knife. And she was holding that knife in her hand. And she was mumbling, no one else can ever have you. No one else can ever have you.
Mm-hmm. And what you've told us just now is exactly what you saw?
Yes, sir. Exactly.
I have no further questions.
And through it all, she sat quietly at her table next to her attorney. It was as if someone else were on trial. She hardly seemed to listen to anything that was being said. Occasionally, she would glance at the spectators. Her eyes would slowly sweep the room. From time to time, they would meet mine. And she would look at me. Or was it my imagination? But the trial came to an end, finally. The jury left the room at 11:45 and returned promptly at 2. They had lunch between 12 and 1:30. So you can imagine how long they deliberated. But, of course, the verdict was obvious from the very outset. Guilty. Guilty of murder in the first degree. guilty, with no recommendation for mercy. So now, what is she doing here, less than 5 years later? Because this is Tessie Bonner. She may call herself Wilma Sloan, but her name is Tessie Bonner.
Sloan.
How do you do?
Congratulations, Mr. Johnson.
Wilma, you said I could have the next dance. How are you at keeping promises?
I never broke one yet.
Not that now.
If you good people will excuse us.
Oh, they make a handsome couple, don't they, Harry?
Oh, what?
I said Pete and Wilma Sloan make a good-looking couple, don't they?
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, she's such a beautiful girl, isn't she?
Yes. Yes, Jenny.
Lovely, if you like a girl who knows how to use a knife. But is she the same one? Harry is absolutely certain. But if she's the same one, what indeed is she doing here? The state where she was tried still has the death penalty. At the very least, she should be in jail for a long, long time. Well, you'll only have to wait a short, short time till I return with some answers in Act Two.
This mystery is really thrilling me.
The suspense is really killing me. Just sitting here by the radio
with Vigna Rosé Wine. Vigna Rosé Wine.
Say, this Vigna Rosé is delicious.
It goes with so many dishes.
Or all along by the radio. Vigna Rosé Wine, Vigna Rosé Wine. Come let me pour you some more Vigna.
At the prices of value, if you know what I mean, y'all. Now let's go back to our mystery show.
But I have one question before I go. What's light and refreshing imported to?
Vigna Rosé Wine.
That's the answer, Vigna Rosé Wine.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
What a wine!
Imported by Hugh Blind, Hartford, Connecticut.
Who knows what troubles lurk in the hearts and minds of consumers? The man from the Better Business Bureau knows.
Oh, Eileen, this new sofa is gone already, and...
Why, what's that inside the cushion, John? It's... Oh, my heavens, it's crumpled newspaper. How did we ever buy a sofa like this? What can we do?
I'll tell you what to do.
Who are you, sir?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. When you shop for furniture, it's what's inside that counts. Fancy coverings can hide a variety of shoddy workmanship. Read the law label that must be stitched to the furniture. It will tell you the filler material used and buy from a reputable dealer.
Oh, thank you, sir. We'll know better next time.
Not at all, ma'am. Just another tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Johnson has raised considerable funds for the town library. He rarely goes there himself. However, this afternoon, on an impulse, one that he cannot explain, or can he has stopped at the library. From the doorway, he regards the librarian, a rather beautiful young woman named Wilma Sloan. She's talking to several children. It's hard to believe that she is a woman who, in a fit of passion, or as a result of a cold-blooded resolve, stabbed her lover to death. But she did, some 5 years ago, in a state 1,000 miles away. And she has been tried and convicted for murder. And the question is, what is she doing here? Harry Johnson wants to know the answer, but evidently not now. And so he turns away and walks down the library steps to the street.
Harry! Harry, want a lift?
Sure thing. Thanks, Pete.
You know, if anybody were to ask me where they could find Harry Johnson, I'd answer, try the library.
Just what's that supposed to mean, Pete?
Don't have an affair with her, Harry.
What?
You heard me.
Don't have an affair with whom?
With Wilma Sloan.
Oh, come on, Pete. What's gotten into you?
The problem is not what's gotten into me, but what's gotten into you.
Pete, you're either crazy or...
Or what?
Well, I don't know. Look, what are you driving at?
What I'm driving at is that man is not naturally monogamous.
Oh, let's not start this nonsense.
That's
again.
Why I never got married. You may be deeply in love with a woman, but suddenly someone happens along and...
And what?
And you're gone.
I think that's ridiculous.
It probably is. But unfortunately, it happens. And it happened to you last night.
Pete, I wish you would tell me what you're talking about.
I'm talking about Wilma Sloan.
What about Wilma Sloan?
Well, let's do it in steps, huh? Last night you were introduced to her. One look at your face convinced me.
Convinced you of what?
Convinced me I'd better ask her to dance so I could get her away from you.
And have her for yourself, no
doubt. Don't get me wrong. I'd take her if I could get her. But she's not for me. I know. See, I'm an expert in these affairs.
Oh, so modest.
Look, you may disapprove of my attitude toward life and love. But I do have both experience and expertise. So I took her away from where you and Jenny were standing before...
Before what?
Before what you were thinking. Before that look on your face could become obvious to everyone else, including my poor dear sister.
You know, I think that you are crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And so now, it's the afternoon of the next day, the late afternoon. I'm downtown. I stop for a traffic light. Idly, I glance toward the library steps, thinking, of course, of that delectable new librarian. When who do I see walking up the steps? Why, my most faithful brother-in-law, Harry. A man whose rectitude has just earned him the Man of the Year award here in Danvers Corners.
Oh, I can explain that.
But I can explain it better. You walked up the steps. You paused. You're new at this business. You don't quite know how to go about it. So at the last minute, you lost your nerve and beat a hasty retreat.
But, Pete, not one word of what you say is true.
But you'll come back again. There always has to be a first time, Harry. And your first time is waiting in the wings. Or I should say, behind the desk. Harry, don't do it.
I have no intention of...
You do. Think you don't.
Pete, if you don't mind, I insist that we change the subject.
Why? Is it so painful?
No, it's ridiculous.
Then why are you becoming so excited?
I'm not excited.
But what are you?
Pete, look, I'm very much in love with my wife.
Your kind of guy needs watching.
Well, don't judge everybody's morality by your own.
What were you doing at the library?
I thought I needed a certain book. And then... Well, then I remembered that I had it in the house.
Sure,
it's
sure.
It's true!
Do you know what Nero said about truth? He said the truth is whatever you want it to be.
I must say you choose a strange model.
But that's where you are right now, Harry. And don't say I didn't warn you.
Hello, Centerville Motel.
This is Mr. Harry Johnson. You wouldn't remember me. I was out there 5 years ago.
I remember you fine, Mr. Johnson. You were with the Gresham Corporation. You spent 15 days here teaching sales seminars. You was in room 112, facing the lake.
Yes, well, I may have to take a trip out there, and I wanted to know if the, if the motel was still around.
Oh, we're bigger and better than ever. Want me to make you a reservation?
Well, my plans aren't firm yet.
Why, sure, just give us a little notice. We always got room for you, Mr. Johnson. Yes.
I remember, when I was out there, you had some excitement.
Excitement? Here?
Yes, you were having a trial, weren't you?
Trial? Oh, yeah. Tessie Bonner. That's who it was.
Yes. I remember I was in the courtroom when the jury brought in a guilty verdict.
Oh, yes. That they did.
Now, I wasn't there when the judge sentenced her. Tell me, what did she get?
The rope. But then the governor said, come on, you can't hang a woman. So he gave her life instead.
Oh. Well, I guess she's still in jail.
No. No, she's dead.
Dead?
But I say dead. That's the only way to figure. You see, they had a breakout from the women's penitentiary a couple of years ago. Wilma and a couple of others escaped.
Oh, well, then why do you say that she's dead?
Well, they made it up to the mountains, but they got caught in a snowstorm. And I guarantee you nobody could live through that one. You Well, it'd be nice talking to you, Mr. Johnson. You come up and see us real soon.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Harry?
Oh, hello, dear.
Oh, I thought I heard someone come in the back door. I wanted to make sure it was you.
Well, I saw a whole line of cars parked in front of the house, and then I remembered it's your women's club afternoon.
Oh, we're just breaking up now.
I didn't want to disturb anyone, so I just sneaked up the rear staircase.
Oh, that's hardly a word you use in your own house. Sneaked. Incidentally, what are you doing home so early?
Jenny, I have a problem. I just want to, you know, sit and think it out.
Oh, sounds grim.
It probably is.
What's it about?
Well, it's concerned with the duties of a citizen.
Uh-huh. Well, let me know how it works out. Oh, darling, would you mind doing something for me?
You name it.
Wilma Sloan is here, and she doesn't have her car, and nobody else is going her way.
Wilma Sloan?
You remember. You met her the other night at your award dinner. Darling, would you mind giving her a lift home?
Would I mind?
Well, I'd do it myself, except I've got to get dinner started. This is very kind of you, Mr. Johnson.
I'd rather you called me Harry.
I will on one condition. You must call me Wilma.
Well, I'll do better than that. I'll call you Tessie.
Tessie?
Or Teresa. Or Miss Bonner. Which do you prefer?
I see. Well, what do we do now?
I know what I should do.
And what's that?
Head for the police station and turn you over to the authorities.
Why?
Because you're an escaped convict.
I know I'm an escaped convict, but why should you turn me over to the police?
Why? Because it's my duty as a citizen.
Oh. And you always do your duty as a citizen?
I try to, at least to the best of my ability.
And as you see it, it's your duty to return me to the penitentiary.
Yes.
Why? I never did you any harm. I killed a man who needed killing.
You can't kill another human being just because you want to.
What else was I to do? He used me, and then he tossed me aside as if I were an object of no consequence.
What kind of society would we have if people were free to kill at their own pleasure?
You haven't answered my question, which is, what do we do now?
I should turn you over to the police.
I know you said that. Is this the road to the police station?
No.
Why aren't we headed that way?
Because...
Yes. It's clear. It's very clear to me.
What do you mean it's very clear to you? How could it be very clear when it isn't clear to me? I don't even know what I'm doing or why.
In the interests of clarity, why do you hesitate to do your duty? Would you hesitate for a moment if I were a man? I don't think so. Again, would you hesitate if I were old? Ugly.
Oh, no, look, that's...
That's what? Why do you hesitate? I heard you speak at the banquet the other night. The fabric of society is woven by each single individual and so forth. I recognized you. I remembered you from the courtroom.
You did?
Oh, yes. And I said to myself, uh-oh, if he remembers me, I'm gone. This is Mr. Pillar of the community himself in the flesh.
I should turn you in. I should.
But you won't.
How do you know?
Because you want me.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous.
Of course it is, but you want me. And you're saying to yourself, here's the most attractive woman I ever met.
You have an extremely high opinion of yourself.
I must be the most attractive woman you ever met. Do you know why? Because I'm making you go against the habits of a lifetime.
I haven't done anything yet.
Oh, yes, you have. You're thinking what a waste it would be to send her back to prison. You're not interrupting me now, are you? You're 40 years old. You never stepped out of line in your life. Aren't you bored with Jenny?
I'm afraid you don't know everything. Oh, I admit I was tempted for a moment.
You should be. I made you quite an offer.
Offer? What offer?
Myself.
What? You would sell yourself to buy my silence?
Most women sell themselves for something.
That isn't true.
They sell themselves for security, for advancement, for the illusion of romance. For me right now, there is nothing more valuable in all the world than your silence.
Well, it's not for sale.
Why not?
Not so that I could engage in a tawdry affair.
Oh, I see. It's not that you're opposed to an affair. Just a tawdry affair. Why would ours be tawdry?
Because...
It's not how these things begin. It's what they become. Both of us are attractive. We're intelligent. In a week, a month, we would love each other.
I love my wife.
Then why aren't we headed toward the police station?
We are.
It's about 3 miles to the station house, and it should take 4 or 5 minutes to get there. An awful lot can take place in 4 or 5 minutes. Will she simply submit quietly and return to a sentence of life in prison? After all, she got in there because she killed one man. Would she kill another man to stay out? From a different perspective, how solid is Harry's resolve to turn her over to the police? Questions, possibilities. We shall weigh them all when I return shortly with Act Three.
Hi, I'm Burl Ives. You know, nothing perks up a meal like an exciting side dish. And I'd like to tell you about one your family and your guests are sure to love and keep on loving. It's Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. It's a mouth-watering mixture of Uncle Ben's converted bran rice, wild rice herbs, and seasonings. It's the kind of side dish that can make an ordinary meal a great meal and can keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. In fact, Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice is so good, they tell me that most everyone who tries it comes back for more. That's because there are no compromises in quality. But that's the way Uncle Ben's does business. So, to make an ordinary meal a great meal, try Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. And to make sure you get the quality ingredients and good taste I've told you about, make sure it's Uncle Ben's.
Hi, this is Jose Feliciano, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Louis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians, a national nonprofit organization working to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation exists to help talented blind musicians achieve professional status as performers and teachers, providing them with auditions, evaluations, and counseling, paid engagements to qualified musicians, and the transcription of music into Braille. The services of the Louis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person. The foundation depends entirely on your contributions. So please help. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Louis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. Help a blind musician on his way. Thank you. I come home in the evening.
How does it begin? Where does it begin? Why does it begin? A man spends his years walking what we are pleased to call the straight and narrow, and suddenly he finds himself sorely tempted to break out of the social and religious mold he has formed for himself over the course of a lifetime. There are those who say man is naturally evil, and there are those who say that man is intrinsically good. Well, Harry Johnson can be a test case for either point of view.
Here we are.
Yes, here we are.
At the police station.
Do your duty, Mr. Harry Johnson. Do your duty as an upright, dedicated, concerned citizen.
I will. Let's go.
Sure, send him in. Mr. Johnson and Miss Sloan. Well, what you want to sit down. Well, what can I do for you?
Lieutenant Craven.
By the way, I was going to go to that banquet the other night, Mr. Johnson, but I was on the desks. Somebody has to mind the store.
Yeah, that's right.
Congratulations. Everybody says, for once, the Man of the Year committee picked the right guy.
Oh, thank you.
Well, now, what can your police department do for you folks?
Lieutenant, I am here to report...
Yes, sir?
I wish to report that, that Miss Wilma Sloan...
Well, hold it just a second. I didn't think I'd have to write anything down. Let me get my pad here. Okay.
Shoot. I have to report that Miss Wilma Sloan...
That's Sloan spelled with an E at the end, right?
That's right.
We got some Sloans over to North Cap, but they don't have the E. So you wouldn't be related, I suppose.
I don't suppose so.
You were saying, Mr. Johnson, about Miss Sloan?
I wish to report that...
Say, you sound like it's something serious.
Well, I look, you see, Miss Sloan here is... Well, she's a...
Yeah?
She's a... She's a very shy and timid person, and, well, she happened to be talking to my wife, and she said she couldn't be sure, but she thought she might have noticed some prowlers about the vicinity of her home. Well, I said, why don't you notify the police? And she said she didn't want to bother anyone.
Oh, now, Miss Sloan. Bother us? Please bother us. That's why we're here, to be bothered.
And so I said, nonsense. I'll take it up with my friend, Lieutenant Craig.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Johnson. Miss Sloan, any time you have the slightest, the vaguest suspicion, you get on that phone. You understand?
Yes, Lieutenant.
Mr. Johnson, if there were more people like you, how much easier our job would be.
Thanks for the lift. Won't you come in? You know, you haven't said a word since we left the police station.
I know. Good night.
Good night? Just like that?
No. Not just like that. I suppose you know why I did it.
But I do know.
It's not at all what you're thinking.
It isn't?
I thought about it. I kept thinking about what you had done. You killed a man who... Well, who had behaved badly towards you. After all, he was married and he... Well, he had no right... Well, you were sentenced to prison. You had already served 2 years.
Three.
It isn't as if you're a professional killer. You won't do it again. You've been frightened enough, punished enough. In jail, you'd be a burden on society. Here, you're an asset to the community. You're productive.
Harry, you can kiss me.
I'm doing this because I think no useful purpose would be served.
Harry, why don't you kiss me? You wanted to kiss me since you first saw me in that courtroom. Harry, kiss me.
Wilma. Hello, Jenny. Where were you?
Harry, you're home.
Of course I'm home.
Well, I figured the PTA committee meeting should be over by 10:30, so I thought I'd surprise you and stop by. We could go somewhere and have a sandwich. Oh, was I hungry.
I'm sorry.
But the school was dark. I guess the meeting ended early.
Well, no. As a matter of fact, it never began.
Oh? What do you mean?
Well, there was no meeting. That was the wrong night.
Oh. Well, what did you do?
Oh, I figured since I was out anyway, I'd pay old Jerry Phelan a visit.
Jerry Phelan?
Yes, you remember Jerry. He ran the newsstand near the railroad station since, well, I guess it must be the Civil War or something like that.
Oh.
Well, you see, now he's laid up sick. Everybody's forgotten him, and, well, he lived near the school.
Oh, darling, that was very thoughtful and very sweet. Incidentally, dear... Are you free Wednesday night?
Well, sure. Why do you ask?
Well, you do have a great many demands on your time.
Do I? Well, yes, I suppose I do. But, I mean, the way you ask that question...
What do you mean?
Are you free Wednesday night? A woman shouldn't have to talk that way to her own husband.
Oh, Harry, you're the kind of a man who has to keep active working for the community, and, well, I don't mind at all.
You don't?
No, because, darling, it's the thing you need. You have to do it. You need fulfillment. It makes you a better man. And a better husband.
You know, Jenny, I never realized what a remarkable woman you are.
Oh, thank you, kind sir.
Why don't we go out now? Have a snack somewhere.
No, Harry, it's too late. Wednesday night.
Well,
tomorrow night.
Tomorrow? Oh. But tomorrow's Wednesday, isn't it? Well, we can't see each other.
Why not?
Well, because Jenny has something planned.
Jenny?
She's my wife, Wilma.
Then what am I?
Wilma, I...
Oh, poor Harry. You can never face reality. You are terrified by the facts.
Wilma, I have to go now.
To Jenny?
Of course. As we both know, she is my wife.
Because she has the document. The document. That's how Mrs. Coyne expressed it at the trial. She has the document. Oh, Harry. Who has your heart?
Oh, Wilma. I'll give you a call tomorrow or Thursday.
Harry wants you to answer the question. No, I guess not. Because once you face up to that question, you'll have to accept the next step. You'll have to divorce Jenny.
Divorce Jenny? A man in my position doesn't divorce.
Oh, I see. Your position doesn't divorce. How about you?
I could never do it. I could never...
You're going home to her now. But answer this. Would you rather be alone with her? Or would you rather be alone with me?
Well, Pete, it's about time for the dessert. And I always skip mine. So, suppose we stop talking about sports and politics, and you tell me why you wanted to buy my lunch.
A couple of months ago, I warned you, Harry.
About what?
I warned you not to have an affair with Wilma Sloan.
Now, Pete.
Harry, I spoke with Lieutenant Craven of the police department.
Oh, Lieutenant Craven?
Or rather, he spoke with me. I will say he was embarrassed.
What does Lieutenant Craven have to do with...
Some time ago, you brought Wilma in to see him. It seems that she was too bashful to complain about prowlers in her neighborhood.
Yes?
Yes. So, Craven's had a squad car cruising the area, and the patrolman noticed a man who keeps coming and going.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Well, Craven's a good friend of mine. And he's put two and two together.
Oh, right, does he have to? Come on, Jerry, come on.
Craven worships the ground you walk on. He thinks you should be president. He's afraid if this gets out, and this kind of thing always does, you'll become a laughingstock. A guy like you, Mr. Morality himself, why, people will eat this up.
Pete, I don't know what to do.
Okay, let's break it down. You in love with her?
I don't know.
Will you divorce Jenny?
I don't want to.
Harry, break it up now. Before it goes too far. Walk away. Because after a while, she won't let you.
What do you mean?
It's in her eyes. Those brilliant eyes. There's something sharp, like steel. To get what she wants, she'll do anything. She's the kind who could kill you.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Harry, you've been married 15 years. Now, I don't say this because she's my sister, but she's a girl in a million, Jenny is, and you know it.
Pete, it's like...
It's like an illness. I know. I've been there before. But you can't end every illness by letting it run its course, because that way you take the chance it'll kill you. Harry, cure it.
I don't know how to do that.
You don't know how to, or you don't want to? Look, your life's in a mess right now. Go away for a week.
Go away? How?
Come on, a guy in your position can suddenly realize he has to make a business trip. Get away from both of them and think out your problem. Decide what's important. Make up your mind. What do you really want?
Harry, darling.
Hello, Wilma.
Well, hello. Is that all you can say? It's been over a week. Come on, sit down. Dinner's ready. I'm just carving the roast.
Wilma, it's time we had a serious talk.
I know, darling. We're overdue.
No, Wilma, you can trust me.
Trust you? Of course I trust you.
No, no, not really.
What are you saying?
You didn't want to go back to prison. Now, that's true, isn't it?
That's true, but...
No, no, no. Now, please listen. So you don't have to pretend any longer.
Pretend what?
Pretend that you love me.
Hey, I'm not pretending.
That night, that first night, you said to me that my silence was the most important thing in the world and that you were willing to buy it. Now, you said that.
Yes, I said that.
Well, you don't have to buy it any longer. Not that you ever had to buy it in the first place.
So you thought I was buying you.
You admitted it.
You forget what else I told you that same night. I said it's not how these things begin, but what they become. And ours has become love.
I love my wife. Now, look, this is over. It's come to an end.
It's not over. It's just begun. I won't let you walk out on me.
We both knew it would have to end sometime.
It can only end when one of us is dead.
Oh, Wilma, don't be stupid.
My name isn't Wilma. Why do you call me Wilma?
Because... Oh, good Lord. This is the way it happened before. The way...
Yes, it has happened before, hasn't it? Oh, hasn't it, Charlie?
Please, control yourself, Wilma.
You know my name isn't Wilma, it's Tessie. Was that her name? Was that her name, Charlie?
I'm not Charlie Reynolds or Ryan. I'm Harry. Harry Johnson. And you're safe. Your secret is safe with me.
If I can't have you, she can't have you.
Be sensible.
A woman in love is never sensible.
Don't be crazy.
If I can't have you, no one can have you.
You're mad. Put down that knife.
I will kill you.
No, Wilma.
My name is Tessie.
Wilma.
I told you no one else can ever have you. No one else can ever have you.
Wilma Sloan, Tessie Bonner, Charlie Reynolds, Harry Johnson. So many times, in so many places, they act and reenact the same roles over and over again. And it's a mixture of love, deceit, madness, and evil. And to taste it is to risk the arrival of death. But you shall risk nothing if you wait for me to arrive after a few moments. You're on the open road, rolling free and feeling great about your new Buick Century. Because in published EPA mileage test results, a V6 Buick Century got the best highway mileage of any U.S. midsize car. 24 miles per gallon and 16 in the city. Your Century's comfortable, it's nimble, it's economical, and above all, it's a Buick.
Living free.
Doesn't offer jobs to women. They offer careers to women. For today's woman, the Marine Corps can be the career corps. Top pay, equal opportunity, equal reward. And you don't have to be one of the boys to get ahead. You can be yourself. A special kind of woman who wants more than a job. A woman who has more to offer.
And so, what is it? What is evil? Need it be nurtured carefully before it springs forth from the human breast? Or can it be a sudden thing? An alien thing? Our cast included Norman Rose, Terry Keane, Joan Shea, Nat Polan, and Ken Harvey. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Miss Gwendolyn Wilkinson?
Yes?
My name is Inspector Stokes. My credentials.
Oh, well, what can I do for you, Mr.?
I'm afraid that you'll have to come to headquarters.
Now?
Yes, Miss Wilkinson, now.
But why? What's wrong?
You're wanted for questioning.
Well, are you sure you're looking for me? Gwendolyn Wilkinson?
Oh, yes, miss. There's no mistake.
I don't understand. What is wrong?
There has been a murder.
A what? A murder?
Who?
Mr. Hazlitt. Mr. Toby Hazlitt.
Oh, but that's impossible. I just saw... Who would want to kill Mr. Hazlitt?
That's what we'd like to find out from you, Miss Wilkinson.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Stay tuned to bright and beautiful music from midnight to 6 in the morning with local news with George Good. I'm Bill Garrity. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow. This is KOIN in Portland. It's 12 midnight.
CBS News. Cambodian President Lon Nol has reportedly left his great political exile. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. United Press International reports that the ailing president departed from his official residence in Phnom Penh this morning, took off for Thailand in an Air Cambodian jet. Lon Nol is expected to fly on to Indonesia and then the United States, reportedly for medical treatment. His departure is aimed in part in getting Khmer Rouge insurgents to the bargaining table. Communist troops continue their rapid advance down the coast of South Vietnam towards Saigon, hours ago overrunning Quy Nhon, one of the country's biggest cities and a major port. One report says American ships succeeded in evacuating 12,000 refugees from the city before it was captured. Communist soldiers are now believed heading toward Nha Trang. The Saigon command reported today that a district town just 50 miles north of the capital was heavily bombarded with artillery and mortar fire. Defense Secretary James Schlesinger predicts a major attack on Saigon may come in the next month or two. The worsening military situation has caused various reactions in Congress. Democrat Bob Berglund of Minnesota is against administration requests for more aid to Indochina.
Nobody has convinced me that the South Vietnamese lack money or American aid. They just lack the will to help themselves, in my judgment, and I see no reason to continue to put money into a matter that doesn't seem to work. I'm talking about money doesn't seem to cure that thing. If it were a matter of money, it should have been settled a long time ago, because we've spent about $150 billion in that part of the world over the last 15 years. And I just think, we've got to draw the line someplace, and here's where I'm prepared to draw it.
But former Air Force Colonel Laird Gutterson, who was a prisoner of war in North Vietnam for 5 years, feels very differently.
In all my 50 years, I have never been ashamed to be an American until this day. Personally, when Cambodia falls, my flag will go to half-mast, and if Vietnam follows it, it will go upside down, because as far as I'm concerned, America has reached a point which may very well be the beginning of the end.
Former POW Laird Gutterson. More news in a minute.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's new Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Vaseline Hemorrhoid. It's new. Use only as directed.
Hello, world. Denny Brackett speaking with the super salad chef, Mike Roy, today. What's happening on your cook thing over the CBS net come tomorrow, Mike?
I had a little surprise.
Well, yes, but wouldn't you just like to say a few words, give the folks a hint about the surprise, so to speak?
Oh, I'm not trying to hold back anything. Tomorrow, we're going to have a surprise. A surprise tuna salad.
Oh.
A cool thing to serve when company comes to call.
I just looked on the calendar. Tomorrow is April Fool. You don't suppose it. Well, we'll see you tomorrow on the cook thing here on CBS.
A new study claims that certain airplane exhaust fumes can cause cancer in humans. Jet DeVal reports.
A panel of scientists from prestigious American institutions warned against continued supersonic flight at high levels without modifying the engines of the SST craft. The Climatic Impact Committee of the National Academy of Science says it finds a connection between high-level supersonic flight and the incidence of skin cancer. The committee, in a 348-page report, claims engine emissions reduce the ozone layer above the Earth's surface, which permits greater amounts of ultraviolet rays to enter, which in turn raises the prospect of skin cancers. Light-skinned persons are more susceptible to the cancers in question than dark-skinned races. Professor Henry Booker, chairman of the Climatic Impact Committee, told a news conference that the British and French should not be permitted to land their Concorde supersonic liner in the United States unless they commit themselves to redesign of the engines, which the committee said is theoretically possible to reduce the unwanted emissions. Jed Duval, CBS News, Washington.
Now this.
Morning, Greenhaven State Prison. Today, Jerry Rice is getting out. He paid for his mistake. We paid, too, about 10,000 tax dollars a year to keep him there. And unless he gets a job, he'll probably go back in.
Wait till your daddy sees you. He's not going to recognize you, huh? Excited?
If you're someone with a job to give, you can do something about rising crime by giving a guy like Jerry Rice a job. He's been thoroughly screened, so you'll know all about him. You complain about rising crime and the billions of tax dollars used to fight it. Nothing can fight it better than jobs.
Welcome home, Daddy. Are you here forever?
Forever, honey.
The way to get this country working is to get people working. So if you have a job to give, call the National Alliance of Businessmen. Help America work.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
American fishermen have sent a message of support to British colleagues who are blockading ports in northern England. The British are protesting the import of foreign fish at low prices. Ann Crosman, CBS News.
Roseburg boys narrowly escaped injury Monday when highway blasting hurled a 5-round rock into the roof of a home about 100 yards away from the blasting area. Highway crews are blasting a portion of Interstate 5 in Roseburg to widen the highway. The blast threw a shower of rocks into the nearby South Umpqua River. One rock sailed across the river through the roof of a home belonging to Mr. and Mrs. Elvin Pierce. Mrs. Pierce says her 6-year-old son and a 4-year-old neighbor boy were playing in the bedroom where the rock landed. In her words, if it had hit them, it would have killed them. She says vibrations from blasting broke her kitchen window last week. About a week ago, a young Portland girl was killed when a rock in the construction area dropped through the roof of the car in which she was riding. Legislation aimed at reducing the cost of medical malpractice insurance cleared the Washington State House of Representatives yesterday by a vote of 87-5. The bill would change the legal definition of the standard of care needed to support a claim of damages. A plaintiff would be required to show that the defendant physician failed to exercise the same degree of skill, care, and learning possessed by others in the profession. Representative Ken Eikenberry of Seattle, in opposing the bill, said it did not change the law sufficiently to avoid the broad interpretations of recent court decisions. The bill now goes to the Washington Senate. First Far West Corporation reports that more than enough shares have been received from Trans-Pacific Financial Corporation shareholders to effect a stock exchange, making Trans-Pacific a subsidiary of First Far West, a Portland-based firm. It was necessary for Far West to obtain 80.1% of Trans-Pacific shares to complete the transaction. Far West says it will extend the exchange offer for an additional 29 days, to give every Trans-Pacific shareholder an opportunity to make the exchange. Weyerhaeuser Company says it will stop using nitrogen fertilizer on its Oregon reforestation projects this year because of the high price. Natural gas, which has become increasingly expensive, is used to make the fertilizer. The fertilizer and thinning are the two methods most often used to step up growth of young trees. Because of soil conditions, the nitrogen fertilizer will continue to be used in Washington, according to the company. A Beaverton pilot, Irvin Rudy, escaped injury yesterday when his plane belly landed at the Albany airport. He was alone in the craft at the time. A legislative committee member says the legislature probably won't approve an increase in hunting and fishing license fees without an amendment saying how some of the money is to be used. The Port and Vancouver weather forecast, partly cloudy today, Tuesday, mostly cloudy with an increasing chance of rain tonight, changing to showers on Wednesday. Highs 50 to 55 degrees, lows tonight near 40. Winds from the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour today. The chance of measurable rainfall, 10% today and 80% tonight. The downtown Portland temperature reading is 40 degrees. And that's KOIN-FM and KOIN-AM News to 12:09 a.m.